All right, Paul, who we were trying to grab yesterday, and I was telling you guys, friend of the show, he's been on a number of times, Australian Army paratrooper, and he was doing like Navy bomb disposal. He was a diver, and he was out in some anti-terrorist maneuvers, and that's when the shark bit him. That's when it bit him. I mean, it took his arm and his leg. I mean, it was a full attack. It wasn't a glancing like, oh, that's a surfer. I thought it was a seal. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a... end of your life, fight for it, or you will expire type situation.
I was going to tell you, too, they disconnected him. And I don't know if he's on headphones or whatever. It sounded a little tinny, but I'm not going to tell him to change because the shark didn't kill him, and I can't either.
Our next guest went from being a teenage hooligan to working in a strip club to working his way up to being an Army paratrooper and Navy clearance diver. Then in February of 2009, his life changed forever as an attack by a bull shark in Sydney Harbor left him missing two limbs. But he turned that negative into a positive, becoming a motivational speaker, environmentalist, and author. And this week, he's a huge part of Discovery's Shark Week, with such specials as Great White Serial Killer, Sydney Harbor Shark Invasion, and more. Please welcome Paul DeGelder.
How you been, Paul?
I've been great. How you doing, team?
Good, good, man. Listen, I'm glad you're back on Shark Week, man. Again, hosting shows. You got a few different shows you're hosting this year.
Yeah. I did some crazy stuff this year. Some really poignant and touching and emotional stuff, too. Like returning to Sydney Harbour to go diving and actually looking for bull sharks this time, which does seem, even to me, a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And then we went to a small fishing village off the Sea of Cortez called Yavaros, where their mollusk divers have been getting killed by great whites. And it was crazy because as we were planning this trip, another diver was killed when we were on our way there. And so it became very poignant for us to go and research why this is happening and how can we keep this community safe, because it's just a very small village. Their whole life is based on surviving off the ocean. And so if they can't go in to do their jobs, then their community collapses. So it was really cool to go down there and help out in some small way.
Well, and I'll tell you, the Sea of Cortez, in its own way, there are some really serious large life there. What was this? They had the squid that were attacking that were really, really over the top, that were piercing.
Humboldt squid down there that were pulling divers out of the boat.
Yeah, and they were learning to hunt as a group, and they were killing things. I mean, they were going after stuff and really taking it down. I mean, you don't normally think about those Humboldt squid doing that, but they're large, and they're really aggressive, and that may be what's happening with those sharks. Is they're like, listen, they've realized that, hey, these divers are here. They work as food. It may be just part of evolution.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've got such a long transit from wherever they've come from to wherever they're going, you know, all the way down to Hawaii, the Pacific, who knows where they're going. And they might even go all the way down to New Zealand. But, they need a lot of fuel to give them enough energy to travel that far. And so they're opportunistic predators a lot of the time. And, you know, they come across this diver dressed in all black, bobbing around on the surface, making noises. And, of course, they're going to go and investigate. But the problem was that now the divers and the community want to kill those sharks. And so we're trying to find a way to help them both coexist and live in harmony.
And that's the thing, right? Like, it's perfectly understandable why they're afraid and why they want to eliminate that threat, because they have to live on that ocean. But it's obviously not going to work to try to eliminate all the sharks and to keep killing them. It upsets the balance of everything. And as a shark, are these attacks happening outside the village on the surface, or are they happening at depth?
They're happening at depth, actually. Happening to the divers on the hooker lines on the bottom.
That's what's scary. That's what's scary.
A lot of time they're getting their heads ripped off.
Yeah, that's what's scary.
And the water is so murky down there as well.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. Like, you know, because as divers, you know, we've always been told, for the most part, you know, it's guys getting hit on the surface because of a misdirection, a misunderstanding. They think it's a surfer's a sea lion. And we've always kind of used that to control our fear, right? And the truth is, like, you're down there, you think, man, he's going to come right at me now? Like, that's what's going to happen? And we've always felt like our large...
Yeah, well, they're not being picky. Some of the time the divers are seeing the shark panicking and heading to the surface, and that triggers that predatory chase response. And so then the sharks are getting them on the surface as well. So there's really no safe place to hide.
So you went back, let me jump around, because you said earlier you went back to Sydney Harbour, the place of your attack, and you went looking for bull sharks, the kind of shark that went after you. And those bull sharks are terrifying. We were in Moorea, Polynesia, doing shark diving where they were, putting the sharks into that catatonic state with the chainmail gloves. And one of the bull sharks came in suddenly, and it was all black tip and white tip reef sharks till that moment. And you could even see everybody in the dive team just went, okay, we're done. Everybody's done. And the size difference, the thickness, the musculature of it, so much different than those other sharks.
Yeah, they're a very stoic-looking beast, aren't they?
Yeah.
The first time I ever hand-fed a shark, it was a bull shark in Fiji. And there was probably 20 or 30 of them in the water, plus six different other species of sharks. And, I always keep my eye on the bull sharks, that's for sure.
Yeah, the legendary that they have such a high testosterone level, their aggression, and that's what went after you. That's what took your arm and leg.
Yeah, nearly died that day. It was a big one. And people tell me they've had a bad day at work, and I say, but did you get eaten?
Dude, and your background is always, I've always thought was really interesting, Paul. Like, you got in some trouble as a kid. You were obviously a high energy, a smart kid. And, a lot of times without direction, that leads to trouble. And then you ended up as a strip club. You were bouncing in a strip club?
No, I was a bartender.
Bartender.
I was a guy everyone liked.
Right. And what do you think is meaner, strippers or sharks? What do you think is harder?
Probably the women with lots of alcohol in them, in close proximity to a naked man dancing on stage. That's probably one of the most terrifying things on earth.
Right, because there's no stopping them. There's no you can't dissuade them. There's no glove to rub on their nose and get them into a catatonic state.
No. Women think men are pigs. Clearly, you've never seen yourself at a strip club with the girls.
Yeah. It's have you been to one of those, Nick, where the male dancers?
No, I haven't.
Dude, those women, if you acted like that at a strip club for men, your arms would be broken off.
Right.
I mean, there'd be nothing for you. No,
you can't
women,
tame those beasts.
No. So you decided to do something safer, like join the military and become a paratrooper.
Yeah. I'm working my way up to just perfectly insane. Yeah, one of the things I did this year for one of the shows, I don't think anyone on the planet's probably done this. I was free diving with sharks 60 feet below the surface, 300 feet away from an active underwater volcano while it was erupting.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you really are pushing your way to crazy. Where, by the way, where was it, Hawaii?
Solomon Islands,
and it's because that's one of the things as a diver I've always wanted to do is go see an active volcanic flue underwater. And I mean, there's tons of toxins and poisons, and especially free diving like you're doing there, man. There's a whole lot of reasons that's a bad idea.
Yeah, and this is one of the most remote places on Earth. It's a chain of hundreds of islands. There's no hospitals for hours and hours and hours. Anyway, you're not getting a chopper in there. And so we were doing one of the first shark surveys on the islands ever done, because the Chinese have come in and they're just decimating the whole place. And the indigenous population that live there, they also get, once again, they rely on the ocean to stay alive.
Sure.
And these are like very primitive. You know, they're still living in wooden thatched huts. They have huts full of the skulls of their ancestors in them. And they go in, they pray to their ancestors' skulls. They make sacrifices to the sharks. So this is a really, really wild place.
What do they think of you, though, when you come in with your prosthetic leg and your prosthetic arm? Like, obviously, they've seen somebody lose a limb before, but there's no chance they've seen anybody like you.
Oh, they've never seen anything like me.
Right.
And they got all these. It's very funny because the little kids have this throwback where they're all very dark skinned, but they all have blonde afros. And they're just adorable kids, but they would all follow me around the villages wherever I went. Whenever I turned around, they would scream and scatter.
Yeah, because, I mean, you truly, like, you're a robot man. I mean, the fascination must have been incredible, which is a nice way to kind of break the ice, right? Like, at least then there's something that they're focused on more than their own distrust.
Yeah, Absolutely. It, once again, another really touching episode to go and be a part of a small culture that's really subsistently living off of the planet. But then in comes big business, you know, big Chinese commercial fishing industry taking out 26 tons of tuna a day and just destroying everything that they depend on to live.
Isn't it crazy that we depend on this ocean so much? And just because most people live in landlocked areas and they're not lucky enough to spend their time on the ocean, we don't have a good grasp of how incredibly important it is and what it provides us and why we've got to keep it safe and why the whole thing is going to go bad when it goes bad. It is it's an unfortunate truth, man, a really unfortunate truth.
I know, and that's why I find what me and my friends do on Shark Week is so vitally important. And everyone else around the world, running the non-for-profits, the ocean cleanups, the beach cleanups, all of that stuff helps.
Yeah, of course, every bit. And it is important. And first and foremost, it's about education. So you watch it, Shark Week, for entertainment, because it's scary, because it's something we've always feared. But most importantly, at the end, you're going to get some education, some understanding about why it's incredibly important to understand the ocean and what we're doing to it. And Paul, you've always done a great job, man. I'm looking forward to Shark Week 2024.
Beautiful, mate. It was a thrill. I'll give it that.
Yes, anytime. You're always welcome here, man. You stay right here. Come on.
Not interested.
All right. I gave her the look. I was getting ready to try
Is he off the phone? Did you hang
not
out?
Not interested.
Yeah. He's gone?
Yeah.
Big pussy. Yeah, he took those headphones off when I told him to, didn't he? He's gone, right? He's hung up. That dude, like, I've watched, like, videos outside of Shark Week or whatever. He is, I mean, he's exactly Johnny. He's exactly you. Like, anybody approaches him, let's go dive this, let's go climb this, let's go jump this, let's go, like, I mean, he's like free diving sharks near a volcano. I'm like,
there's so many. First of all, free diving brings on what they call shallow water blackouts, which is how you die. Like, these guys stay down for so long that they're on their way back up again, but they're timing it so they just barely get to the surface, and then they're like, take their breath, and then they're reoxygenating. But they'll time it so, like, they're going out, going out, going out, going out, break the surface, and they're okay. But you miss it by 20 feet, and you black out underwater, that shallow water blackout, and then boom, right back down again.
Do I think autoerotic asphyxiation, the way you describe this, is my first thought.
Yeah. Well, it's not Michael Hutchinson.
I don't think they're jerking off while they're doing it.
She's get that feeling. That's how I interpret what you just told me.
You're thinking of Michael Hutchinson pulling his crank in a kiddie pool.
He's like David Carradine.
I think of both.
Yes, it is a similar end to your life, but without the erection. he was chasing sharks, really.
Yeah.
No
wetsuit boners. Let's go.
I should probably look into myself. So many dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.